Councilmember Cardoza.
Here with a tie.
Council President Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhar.
Here, without a tie.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here, last time for a tie this year, please.
Mayor Steer.
Here with pants on.
Somebody say, listen to this record and be like, what?
Well, it makes me proud to be part of the team.
Okay, so the purpose of the workshop is to review our fee waivers for city facilities and senior center rentals. So, we had a committee, and the committee had some findings, and it looked like we needed to go into this further, so Chris has provided some, a range of fees that come from community hall and Grange Rental and Event Center and Senior Center, so that we can kind of look at those and see if we have an idea of what we would like to charge for the senior center, if that's what we're going to do, or if we're going to just have that for the seniors, or how we want to operate with that. Bob has also included some figures of what it costs approximately. For me, I still kind of agree with the committee's findings, so I guess it's kind of up for discussion what anybody else would like to add to that, or a direction.
Mayor, if you don't mind, I'll start.
Okay.
I think the only hang-up that I have as far as not renting out the building, or I guess my only concern that I have with the whole thing is that there, as Councilmember Cardoza stated before, there really isn't a ADA or senior accessible building for rent in the city without having access to the senior center. From the beginning, I've been pretty adamant that I'm against the fee waivers. I like the idea of just turning the whole thing over to the seniors and not renting it out, but that concern with not having that availability for the seniors in the city to rent, or any ADA accessible, I do have concern with that. That is my only hesitation not to put forward the of not renting it out. I really don't have a way either way to go. My stipulation will just be that I just don't like the fee waivers. So if we can do something without fee waivers, I'm open to that suggestion. That'll be where I stand at this point.
Okay, so the only issue we would have with fee waivers for the senior center would be like the VFW post, that's kind of been their home, although they've been meeting in the History Center. Their sign is at the Senior Center. They have lockers in there. That's kind of has been their home. So we could operate under a use agreement for the VFW. I don't know, Chris, was there other organizations that need use of the senior center?
The VFW is pretty much year after year the consistent one.
Okay, so history has been that they've been there. And they haven't been in there because we thought that Saturday would be a day that we would rent the senior center out, but generally, and I spoke to the VFW, generally, we haven't had any rentals that have lapsed into the timeline that they use it, 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. So if we could still do that for them. What the VFW does is, when they do raise money, they do it for, like they might have something going on, they help the CUNA cheerleaders, or they help with the Lions Club and their psych trailer, and things like that. So they're when they do raise funds, it's actually for a community-grounded type of fundraiser. So I guess my only thought on that, if we're not going to allow fee waivers, if we can do a use agreement for the VFW on the building, because like I said, they really have limited use there. I think it's fair that we support the VFW.
So I had reviewed the minutes back to, I think it was 10 years ago, and previous council had allowed the VFW to, and I think maybe everybody had noticed previously that it was posted that was the VFW post. And so that was a previous council action, I think it was about 10 years ago. And that's when it kind of changed and they quit paying fees to use the facility.
So as I understood it, kind of some of the issues that we talked about last time, there was part of the concern was we felt like we were spending more money and staff time and everything than what we were actually charging. So I don't know if anybody had a chance to do like a workup of what we think our actual costs are there, because I do think it would be completely reasonable if we continue to rent it out to increase the price if we need to do that. I mean, I don't think we should be... my whole idea with continuing rentals is just, I have some issue with the notion that it's a publicly funded building, and in times when the seniors aren't using it, we are requiring that it sit vacant rather than let another taxpayer pay to use it. And so with that in mind, you know, if the main hurdle is that we're still taking a bath in that because of how little we charge, then I think increasing the rates to adequately reflect our actual expenses would definitely be appropriate. And maybe the end result would be that nobody ends up renting it, and you know, but at least we're not foreclosing the possibility. Do we have any sort of idea if we think just like doubling it would kind of do it, or? We didn't plan this, I promise.
No.
Well, and I just want to clarify, I'm not necessarily talking about figuring out a rental price so that we break even on use of the senior center globally, but more so we talked about an employee has to go over there to unlock it and explain how things work, and then later an employee has to come back and secure it after the fact and did it. And so like calculating actual salaried time, I guess, for that, for any follow-up that's needed, for processing the application, like adding all that stuff together too. So maybe you're already covering that, but I just wanted to clarify.
No. For the record, John Marsh, no, that's not in this information. Okay. I just handed out. This is actually true cost that we've incurred cash out of hand. This just gives you a running history. So you've got 6 years here through January 31st of 16. And you see there's a trend. There used to be a significant amount of extraneous, I guess, or supplemental rental income that used to come into the senior center, but it waned. And most of that was due to a church function. And then I think they found their own facility, if I'm not mistaken. But basically, 15 is a good good indication of where we stand. In that year, last year, we ended at a deficit of $7,714. This year, we're probably going to end up pretty close to the same, except ignore the the trend there that you see that says 12,900, that's just taking the expenditures to date and dividing them by the months and then multiplying by the months that are remaining. And what that is there was that tree removal that was a contingency item that was in there that was a little higher than planned, of course, wasn't planned. But so if you took that out, we'd probably be trending about what 2015 is. So if you look at the footnotes there, the majority of the revenue comes from the Senior Center, or the Kenan Senior Citizens Association, and the, I always mess this up, it's the CCOA. So, any questions?
No. Thanks. Bob, can you speak to what we think an actual cost would be when you do have a rental to go over what they need to do and keys and staff time?
Bob Bachman, for the record, City of Kenna, Mayor and Council. I would say it's probably the week that we have a schedule, so somebody's scheduled on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, whatever, it's probably about an hour of time a week per event. So if there's one on Sunday, we go in Monday morning. The thermostats and stuff we did does make that a little easier because I can do all that remotely now. Because the problems we had in the past were it was just kind of out of control. Somebody's hot, somebody's cold. So you had to go in and check that. But I'd say right now, probably per event, it's probably an hour of time to get them a key to go and make sure that we'll do a walkthrough with them, show them what they can, can't use, go back the next day and check, make sure anything needs cleaned up or anything like that.
So do you think that price is adequate or would you change, given what you know about it, the involvement and everything, would you change our rental rates or?
I actually don't have the rental rate right in front of me.
$50 for the first hour and 10 for each additional hour.
Taking in consideration the utility bills that I've been studying and trying to figure out a way to get those down, I would say it needs to be higher. Just from the amount of maintenance and stuff that we do, and the, you know, I just figured it out. It's John probably has that written, gave that to you guys, but it's almost $8,000 a year for the gas and electric. So, and we were $7,000 in deficit, so most of that's the utilities. So, and then you factor in man hours on top of that, but I would say it needs to be higher.
Well, and then also the staff time that it takes to let people in and out of there is actually after hours stuff also, right?
So. Yeah. It's usually, that's not factoring any phone calls that Bobby or myself get. I think he still gets some, but I probably get most of them. If it's rented out on the weekend or even a weeknight, there's generally one or two phone calls that we can answer stuff from homes or from our home. It's generally, you know, it is time consuming for sure.
Okay. Well, so that said, I mean, we can kind of see what the fees are. I don't know that it would be out of line to change that to something more sufficient.
Can I ask Chris a question? For the rentals, is there an average number of hours, folks, tend to use it? Do folks ever use it for just like one or two, or does it tend to be a little bit longer than that? I'm just trying to figure out if we should set it as a per day fee, like most other places.
It's never really just for an hour. The minimum is usually 2 hours, but I would say the average runs 3 hours. Okay. Either way, you know. And in my perspective, just the rentals of it, I'm not sure why it was ever established at $50 for the first hour and then a small fee for each additional hour. It just seems to make sense to just assign each hour a cost because I don't think it costs less. It doesn't cost us less for them to use it for 3 hours than it does for 1 hour. There's if that makes, I don't know if I'm making sense.
Sort of, but on the flip side, I mean, the human investment in terms of showing up before and after is going to be the same regardless of whether they use it for one or three. So really the only difference I would think would be like the utility portion of it.
Right.
So from that perspective, I sort of understand why we would front load a little bit, but
yeah,
I'm also fine with just doing like a daily thing like most other places.
Richard? I guess I have mixed emotions about being in competition with private industry in town, but by the same token, I have mixed emotions. It is a public facility. It should be available to the public. I don't know if I would have any problem to raise that to maybe to get better utilization, maybe $100 for the first 4 hours, and then $25 an hour thereafter to be in competition with the CUNA Event Center. I think one question that we haven't answered is probably the one that Pat's concerned about. And, you know, where's the line that we're gonna draw? One of the advantages that we have in a small community is the flexibility that the city gives to the associations, because we're not able to provide what other communities like Meridian and Boise does. So when these organizations, and I'll throw one out, the Easter egg hunt. You know, when you've got, I don't know, 3,000 people, 2,000 people there, I hear nothing but a response from the community, what a great deal it is. You know, they're doing it, and we don't provide that. So there's that fine, fine, fine line of, do we make it available to taxpayers that are nonprofit organizations, because they provide a service we aren't or can't or won't, whatever it is. But then again, I have mixed emotions again about being in competition with private enterprise. So I don't know. I guess I would be willing to raise the rate so that it is self-sustaining. But I would like to hear more discussion on the other organizations, nonprofit, using the facility. So, and I have to admit I'm a little biased being ex-service. So, you know, most of the money those guys raise, I know I belong to the American Legion. They don't spend it on themselves. It goes back in the community. So anything we can help would be an advantage to those organizations. So I do got one question, Bob. Would it help you guys if we had a lockbox down there with a combination, and then they just hit four numbers and they take a key out, and that way you don't even have to go down there? It would keep you from having to give up your Saturday or Sundays.
Really, I think if we're going to continue to rent it out, my personal belief is that we need to come up with some sort of dissolving code. That way, if somebody rents it, we can give them a code that's good for their time frame. Right. That way, we don't have to chase keys and have multiple keys floating out there in the public. I think it would be better to come up with some sort of system that we can give them a code for rental. It's good for their time block, and then the code dissolves, and we don't have to worry about that again.
I've got a combination lock on mine, and I think you can put up four codes in that. So I find it solved the problem of me giving out keys. I can take the back off and change the code in 2 seconds anytime I want to. It sure worked out. I think the cost was about $189 at Home Depot for it, so it's not expensive. But if it would free up your days not having to go down there, we could change that every Monday morning from the previous code that they had. It would give you guys some freedom to spend time with your family.
Yeah, I think something like that would definitely be a good idea. That situation's a little different because it's a dual door with a ADA button. So the system is a little bit more in-depth than that. I saw the one you had on yours the other day. I was trying to see your code when we were over there, but I couldn't quite see it. Anyway. But anyway, I know what you're talking about, and they do have those. It just happens the one for that one's a little bit more in-depth than that because of the dual doors.
About the double doors makes a big difference, unless you put a hasp across there. Anyway, I guess the question more directly in front of us is, the primary question is, do we want to make it available to other organizations without a fee? And then when that question is answered, then we need to go on what we want to charge for. So there's probably two questions to be addressed, I think.
I think my only discomfort with not having a staff member go down after people leave is to make
what
sure
kind
that
of shape
it's
left in.
That, and just make sure that there's not other problems. Sometimes things happen with nobody meaning to, but
you maybe guys
it'd
get
be better
paid
to check
that?
It out.
Do you get paid for that?
It's part of the job.
But the nice thing about, like the VFW that would want to use it, they're very good, respectable, and I don't think we would have to worry about anything that they're doing, and they're going to have their schedule, and we'll know what it is.
I think Pat would agree with me. Where do you draw the line, though? Where do you keep allowing some organizations to use it and others not to use it? So,
Chris.
I deal with a lot with the rentals when they come in, the fee waivers, the requests and that type of thing. And I think what started working well is when we put together the use agreements, like with KPAL and KYSBA, we were able to have the conversations of what they need, what we need, and all those. And as the mayor indicated earlier, in the situation, if we don't really do fee waivers anymore, but if they need to have, their rates reviewed or something, that be addressed via a fee or a use agreement, and then maybe, there's some exchange of volunteer work or, something like that.
Where do the young Marines go now?
I believe they may have disbanded. They only had one or two CUNA kids. The rest of them were coming from Boise.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of one of those stipulations. We wanted to see an increase in the CUNA kids, and that didn't happen. So that kind of went away. Greg?
Yes, Mayor. Have you, I believe you already addressed this, but have you talked with the seniors already? What's their input on this?
Well, the seniors don't like that other people use it just because people mess with their stuff.
Right.
They're going to do whatever it is that we direct, but obviously their preference is that it's their building. But
okay,
that's
so. My opinion is that we still do not rent it. It's kind of like I said before, their safe haven, I feel. And maybe anyone can address this, but I don't see why it's the city's responsibility to provide a building with a room to rent. I mean, do we have a fee waiver or a fee set up to rent this room or the conference room at the sewer treatment plant? I mean, that building is unique in the way it's set up. It's able to host it, but this room would be no different for AA to meet in or something. So in my opinion, I don't think the city's in business to provide places for people to rent. That's what private businesses there for, Enrique and Community Hall and whoever else.
Okay. And that said about the seniors, they're not meaning to be rude and disrespectful.
No.
It's just they're definitely going to go with whatever we do.
Sure.
And they will appreciate whatever we do, but.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yeah.
Do you know why we don't allow the kitchen facilities to be used at the senior center?
Well, it's, when that was built, they put in a pretty high-tech commercial kitchen, probably way upgraded from what actually would ever be needed there. And why that was done, I don't know. I think it was probably grant money that funded it, and so it was available, and so that's, they were offered the best, so they took the best and turned out to be an expensive unit. And I don't know, Bob, if you want to expand on any of that.
I believe the seniors actually own the restaurant equipment. Is that correct, Chris?
It was originally purchased through a grant through Health and Welfare, and then Elks contributed to the costs as well. And then I think it's was called the Elks, but I think it's called something else now. So they pay rental on the kitchen, and the equipment in there is part of the agreement of the equipment that's not to be rented out or used by others except for the feeding of the seniors.
And I believe that also holds true for tables and chairs belonging to the seniors, however other people use them or anything. But
yeah, we don't own those. Those are the seniors own those.
The other thing, I mean, just for information purposes, if we go this route, I know that most nonprofits have bylaws, and the money they take in cannot be spent on administration or anything that they do for themselves. It has to be put back into the community. So, I mean, that could be a stipulation that they have to prove that they are a true 501c, whatever number they are.
Three.
Well, four is the same way, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we have most bylaws that way. So that's something to think about if we go that way. The other thing is that I would be curious if we turn over the building back to them and not rent it out, would they be willing to pick up a few of the expenses? And more what I'm talking about is that if nobody is going in there, why can't they clean the building now? Or, you know, come up with something to help with that cost. And I'd be willing to wait on that and look to see what other costs we can get down. But, I mean, if they're the only ones using the building, I think we can somehow either cut our janitorial by some, if not all. I don't know if that would be willing for something for them to trade, because I would think they were still going to have to put some money into the building for maintenance. So I don't know if they would be open to that or not. So I don't know where everybody wants to go. I still wouldn't have a problem just cutting off the rentals. I initially don't. I mean, I'm a little concerned about, like I said, with not having available access. I think that can be taken care of in the future, but I think it's going to be some time before, like, the community hall gets ADA compliant to go downstairs and stuff like that, so we have access, because really the only thing we're leaving them now is the events are at Grange Hall. You can get in there with wheelchairs and Grange Hall, can you? Is it there?
I mean, there's a ramp, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't even get downstairs on the community hall with the wheelchair. There's no way.
The library is ADA accessible, and it has a good-sized meeting room as well.
So I guess since there is other avenues, I mean, I don't know about just turning. I mean, I don't know why maybe I expressed maybe just turn the whole building over to them altogether. I mean, I don't know if we paid, if there was any money exchange when we took over the building.
There was a dollar.
A dollar. So we paid them a dollar? Or they gave us a dollar?
Yeah, I think we paid them a dollar.
Well, we paid them so we could start spending more money.
Yeah, so I mean, if they want to pay us a dollar, they can have their building back. But I don't know if that's the route everybody wants to go either, so.
Yeah, I don't know that we want to turn the building back to their ownership. You know, there's several issues with maintenance and things like that, and I don't know that the seniors can afford it on their own. So I think if that was the only stipulation as to letting them have it and us not leasing it, then I think that we probably should bypass that avenue. I don't think it would be, I think it would turn out to be a bad thing in the long run.
Well, I guess, I mean, if we do a no rental in the senior center, I would just like to see somehow the seniors help us lower those costs too, if we're not going to, if we're going to help with the expenses, if they can help us with somehow either, like I said, either cover the phone or something, I don't know. I mean, maybe we can work with them to figure out what they feel they can do to help us a little more.
Okay. We can have discussions and see what they are able to do. So I could run that scenario by them and see what they're able to do and report back on that if you would like, or if you would rather just, I mean, if we want to get this issue solved, we can do that, and I'm sure they will do what they can otherwise.
You done?
I think we ought to make a decision and just move on.
Okay, well then, if I move that we no longer rent the senior center.
I second that.
Motion's made and seconded to no longer, well, we're in a workshop. Are we able to do a motion right now?
No, we should wait, probably table it up in a regular meeting.
Okay.
Still right, then I withdraw my motion.
Then it never happened.
There you go. Yeah.
Second.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm still wearing pants.
So would it be council's direction then to bring this matter after properly noticed back to regular council meeting?
Yeah, I think that'll be fine. And if we can find out the question of whether or not the seniors think they can help us a little more, I would.
Okay, like, yeah, I agree.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other comment we would like to make while we're in the workshop on this issue?
Are we just dealing with senior center, or are we going to deal with parks too?
I have a question. So are we, we're effectively saying then that BFW cannot use it either, and neither can any other nonprofits, right? If we're not doing rentals, that means nobody but the seniors use it for their lunches on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and bingo on Saturday, right? And I guess unless the seniors themselves expand like their lunches or some other thing.
Well, I think, you know, that could actually be an avenue for the seniors to help more. Maybe they can come up with an agreement with the BFW to, as part of their fundraising event, to raise some money to give to the seniors to help with.
Would it be a challenge in, I don't know, to have use agreements and have no fee waivers, or is that contradicting anything?
Well, I don't think so. I think if we say no fee waivers as a blanket for everything, then use agreements can be used, and correct me if I'm wrong, Richard. So we say no fee waivers. So we're just not going to do fee waivers as a council. People can't come and request them. However, if it's some organization that has something like an annual event that somebody feels like it would be a viable thing that everybody's involved with, and it's an annual event, I think we can do a use agreement that allows that to happen without contradicting the fee waiver.
That's correct. And then you're take it one step further, if there's an organization that wants to use it like the VFW, perhaps we could enter into a user agreement on that also. So a true nonprofit, like an organization, maybe a consideration, if they use it to their own way on some of those things, allowing that without a fee, but a use agreement.
Would that, that wouldn't be considered discriminatory though, would it? If we, now we're only allowing certain groups to get use agreements, and then other people not, I mean, is that, I mean, could that be considered discriminatory?
Well, we're gonna make it available to nonprofits versus, you know, for-profits or individuals. No, it wouldn't be discriminatory, I guess, from the standpoint of, you know, we're making it available to those organizations that are truly recognized IRS nonprofits, which I think is where I hear you maybe wanting to accommodate.
No, I was just, I my preference is to rent it out, because I think I, for a number of reasons, but I was just trying to clarify what the perspective was, if we're saying no, only the seniors get to use it, but then it sounds like there's still potentially some interest in letting other nonprofits use it. So I'm just trying to clarify what actually we're planning on doing.
Yeah, I think that's a good valid point.
Would do you have a suggestion though? I mean, I wouldn't have a problem considering a, what is this, a fee that makes it worth our while. So, I mean, instead of doing $50, we bump it to $100.
Yeah, I was going to suggest $100.
Are you thinking for the first four hours, or are you thinking?
I would say, I was going to suggest that it could just be a flat, it's $100, and you can use it for as much of the day as you want, as long, you know, knowing that there are some pre-scheduled senior events, obviously, that would limit how much of a day you get on certain days.
Would you be willing to make them accountable for a time, so if they only plan on using it 4 hours, that we have to know their exit time? So say they come in at noon, and I mean, I don't want to rent something out all day and then they're out there at 3 o'clock when somebody could come in that night and rent it. I mean, so I don't know.
No, from that perspective, yeah, I'd be fine with them setting it as like an hourly thing. But then what if somebody, so I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but I'm thinking like specifically of Saturdays, if we have to have it out by 3, is that right? And if we're doing like 4 hours, if 4 hours is like the minimum thing, so you're guaranteed at least 4 hours of use, I don't know if there ever would be a situation or if it would even be tenable to do back-to-back rentals on a Saturday prior to 3 p.m., but a four-hour time frame would make that not possible. So if we're setting a time frame, I don't know if we'd want to go with like 3 or something else, but I'm fine with significantly increasing the cost, was your actual question.
Yeah, I mean, if we go that route, I think I'd want an exit time, just so we know that if we could rent it out, and if we do all day and they want it all day, then I don't have an issue with that, but I think they have to tell us they can use it all day.
In trying to schedule the rentals, if that's the direction you go, blocks of time for a cost will be much harder to manage than it would be just an hourly rate, whatever that might be, so that we know when they're starting, we know when they're ending. Because if we say it's $100 for a four-hour block and they only need, say, 2.5 hours, there's the potential that they're going to want to be reimbursed for part of that money, or they're going to come back at a later date and say, well, we only used 2.5 hours. Can we have, you know, an hour and a half free now? And those kind of scenarios will come up. So for continuity, if you want to continue to rent it out, an hourly rate would be best.
Or I appreciate that sentiment, and I think that's definitely something we should think about. But I think we could also maybe just try really hard to do education up front and say it's $100 for the first 4 hours, any part of it up to, you know, And just make it clear, like, no refunds, no prorating, no blibbity blah.
Well, would it be reasonable to do, as Councilmember Cardoza suggested, to do $100 for a 4-hour, and then so many dollars per hour after that? Would that be, I mean, would that be easy to manage? Because it's $100 to get in there. That gives you 4 hours, or if you only want one, it's $100.
Sure, I mean, we can do that. Yeah, it's whatever council wants, we'll make it work.
What do we think the hourly rate? You want to do 25 an hour for after the? Most everybody's going to use it 8 hours, and it'd be like a maximum. Yeah. That'd be $200 for a day for use of the facility.
I don't think 25 is unreasonable.
That sounds fine to me.
What do you think, sir? You're right now?
125 is fair with 100 minimum.
So we will have to move on this in a regular council meeting. Is it council's direction to go this route for a presentation, or do we want to include both routes? The one that was suggested first, and then this one.
What do you think, Greg? Would you be all right with that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, why don't I do this? Why don't I talk to the seniors and see what their thoughts are? And have a discussion with them, and then come back with this option and then the other option that was suggested before, and see if seniors can come up with some other.
I just want to mention one other thing. I know at one point there was a suggestion, like, if we say only seniors can use it, that then maybe they could work with VFW and something about doing. I have some concern about that from a couple of perspectives, but especially a legal perspective. If the seniors are contracting with another entity for use of a city building for activities and stuff like that, and we still run the liability insurance on it, and we still cover the maintenance, so if something breaks, we would be doing that. And so I have some concern about the notion that the seniors could encumber the building without our involvement or knowledge.
That makes sense. I understand where you're coming from, and it makes perfect sense. So either way, if we did that, we'd still have to come up with a use agreement that ran through the city rather than through the seniors. So
I mean, I think we could end up setting it up that way, but my preference in that case would be that the seniors just take over the building and it's truly theirs, but sure. I don't think they're will. I mean, I don't think they're in a place to do that, so, yeah.
Bob?
Mayor and Council, I don't mean to complicate this, but I'm a little concerned that $100 for 4 hours isn't enough, just knowing what the utility costs and the other expenses are. I was just kind of doing some math right there. Just my time in the utilities for a 4-hour block is about $45, $50 just itself. So I'm a little concerned that, I think right now it's $70. So I'm a little concerned that, you know, 100 might not be a big enough increase. So
that's 80 for 4 hours.
80 for 4 hours, so we're a $20 increase. I'm not sure that we're really making an impact on trying to cut down the utility costs and stuff like that. Just my opinion.
Okay. Well, we can look into that further and see what is appropriate and bring that before council, and we can get everything on the agenda so we can make a decision and move on with that. So the other thing is the fee waivers with parks and I guess the only thing that's come up with that before was groups like where we have the, what is that, a 3 or 4 day event where they have athletics for all the kids that want to come in 2 days.
Now there's two events. One's a 5-day event that's for youth athletics, and the other is a, it's open to the public, all kids, and then the other is a week-long.
Is that the Vacation Bible School?
Yeah, the Vacation Bible School, and then that's open to everyone as well. They do.
There's like a dinner afterwards, right?
Yeah, there's a dinner, and the kids can eat there, and they get to play, and, you know, there's things to do. So those are the two on that I always request a fee waiver, and if fee waivers are eliminated, I, you know, perhaps they could go to a use agreement.
So I think we could handle that the same way. I think we could say no fee waivers and then do a use agreement with people that are making something that's open to the public and everyone's invited and that type of thing. And I think those use agreements would all have to come through council. So it wouldn't be like staff making a decision based on anything other than what council decides. If that works for everyone.
So what would the difference be between a fee waiver and a use agreement?
The use agreement would be something that would have to go through the city. It would allow us to ensure that people have insurance where insurance is needed. And I think it just gives us a little better control on the city's liabilities. And I think it eliminates the use for the little short stints that come up all the time.
And in theory, would those automatically renew unless either party said we wanted to stop? So like the Vacation Bible School one or the sports camp, like if those happen year after year, would it kind of be like the KYBSA thing that we just did, which is to say it's automatically renewing unless, basically, like there would be a date. I mean, obviously, it would depend on what it's written like, but there'd be a date certain by which they need to tell us what the dates of their camp would be, and then that would just be it.
We could certainly do it that way.
I guess it would depend on the individual group and their preference during our meeting, if they want to have it annually renew or if they want to come in for a one-time type of thing.
And right now we have two use agreements, right? KPAL and KYSBA?
Correct.
And both of them are contributing something back, though, for that use agreement.
That's
so
correct.
Like, yep, so, I mean, I would think that if we do use agreement, it would be some sort of stipulation of what we get something back, not necessarily monetary, but voluntarily or something.
Like helping clean up the park.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we can do is even ask them up front, are you willing to give back, and how would you like to do that or something? If I think that would be fine with me on that. If we get something in return, I would like to see that.
All right, that would be reasonable to ask them to do the cleanup of the parks in the area after they're done using it. I guess the only significant difference between KYSBA and what they invest is that they use huge blocks of time. Yeah. And have kind of exclusive use for an entire baseball season type of thing. So theirs is extended, and I think under that situation it's only fair that they invest. Whereas this is a little different, it's shorter periods of time.
Well, I think even,
Yeah, that's right.
Say even, you know, they just walk the green belt one day and pick up all the trash. I mean, it can't take more than a couple hours or something. I mean, whatever, you know, Bobby's got something needs done or something, you know, you can give a list. Here, we pick one of these things on this list and take care of it for us, and we'll let you have the park. But that might be a little more cumbersome to try to coordinate all that, but that's kind of the idea of what I'm thinking.
I think that's a reasonable request. I think the, I mean, especially the sports camp, they should be active. They could run the green belt and pick up stuff.
Make a challenge out of it.
Yeah.
Mayor, could I bring
yes.
up a different perspective as to why we shouldn't allow them more than a one-year agreement? You have a new council every 2 years, and you're binding them. in perpetuation. The philosophy changes every 2 years, so I think they should have a one-year use agreement simply out of respect for those that are elected behind us or after us.
Well, all of those have an escape clause.
Okay.
So they can say they don't want to do it anymore, or we can say we don't want to do it anymore. So I don't believe that would be binding any other.
But certainly,
if that wasn't in there.
Yeah, I was just going to say we could certainly, with that sentiment in mind, maybe make a note of, you know, when we have councils turnover, that would be one of the things. Let's review all of our use agreements, make sure that these are things we still want to do, and that sort of thing. Like, we could kind of build that into a schedule to specifically address that concern too.
So it would be on the agenda every year?
Or every two, I mean, I think, my suspicion is that, like, Richard would be reviewing all these every year, just because the folks would be, I mean, depending on the terms of each agreement, like the one we just are doing, the baseball one, you know, they need to give us a schedule by X point every year, and so there's kind of like these triggering things that would get it fresh in our minds and whatnot. And so, in theory, those same things would be happening. They need to let us know when, you know, what their dates are, what we need to block out, et cetera. So I think that would keep it fresh in our minds and would be something where Richard could even just, you know, put it on a recurrent calendar thing where he would just say, okay, we have these agreements coming up for renewal. Do you guys need a refresher on any of these? Do you want to reexamine any of these? Do you have any concerns about any of these, kind of a thing? And whether it's annually or biannually, as we get new elected folks in, we can figure out what the best way, I think, for us to do that is. But I think that's a good point. And so, yeah, coming up with like a strategy to make sure that we, once we sign them once, you know, they're not out of sight, out of mind for us forever.
Do we already review, or will we review KYSBA and KPAL every year?
I think the only discussion with KYSBA is their schedule.
Their schedule, okay. So long they provide the schedule. I mean, I think we're doing that with the farmer's market, though. Aren't we requiring them to come in every year?
Yeah, well, because they've had, if memory serves, it's still set up sort of like a fee waiver. Like, they still pay something, but
yeah,
it's a different amount. And so we could do it that way, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either way. I mean, if, I agree with Councilman Cardoza that I don't see why we can't review it every year. Maybe do it at budget time. I don't know. I mean, because at budget time, we kind of lock in the next council anyways.
Well, and so, I guess counter perspective would be, to the extent there are no material changes, everything is going to, like, for whatever sports camp, everything is going to run the same way it ran the last year. Is there a reason that we would need to? I mean, if we've already signed off on the form and concept of it, and nothing has changed at all, and it's the same council particularly, would there be a reason that we would need to spend time looking at it again? Or I would think, my personal preference would be, well, only if there's been some material change, be that with the way that they intend to run it, or with maybe there's new council that would like to reconsider what we're doing.
I wouldn't have a problem going that way.
Just to save time.
Great.
Yeah, what they said.
Ditto.
Does
that sound reasonable? That's something we can put together?
Yes, I had envisioned a memo just to update on the status of these as we go through. If there's any changes or things that we need to work on beforehand as they expire.
Good. Okay, anything else on fee waivers? If not, we'll take a short break.
Mayor, was Bob going to go over the Intermountain Gas and the building?
Oh, do you want to go over that?
Yes,
sure. Okay.
I don't know.
We've got 4 minutes and 13, 12, 11.
Bob Bachman, City of Cuna. As you guys can see, I've been looking at the gas bill and the electrical bill of the senior building, trying to figure out ways to bring those costs down. Did you guys all have a chance to see the memo on that? On the gas side, I was pretty aggressive. The reason being is there's a lot to fix. There's also 156 days a year that that building's unoccupied that we need to take advantage of basically putting that building into sleep mode. Most of my numbers on savings are based on those 156 days, taking advantage of that and putting the building to sleep. We did replace the thermostats already, which I've already noticed, just trending it, that there's going to be a big savings in that as long as we stay on top of it. The other things we could do that we've talked about is the gas oven in there. The gas oven, for those of you that don't know, runs 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. With the current oven we have, there's nothing we can do about that. And just at idle, that oven costs us about $54 a month, $600 and some odd dollars a year, just sitting there running, doing nothing. That doesn't take into account their hour lunch that they have 3 days a week, where they got six burners going, 250,000 BTUs per burner, which so obviously that cost is probably more like $750 or $800 a year. So one of the things I was looking at, I guess let me back up real quick. That also, with that gas burner running 24 hours a day, makes the hood, there's a class one hood above it, it makes that circulate and pump in fresh air to accommodate for that air exchange leaving the building. So, and the return air for that side of the building is right next to the heat exchange. So as we're calling for hot air, we're bringing in cold air, and it's just fighting itself in that zone of the building all the time. So one of the things we can do to fix that would be to replace that oven with an electric oven. I know that sounds weird, but the little amount it gets used, electric oven would be way more efficient. I've talked to the seniors about that. They don't care as long as they have an oven. So one of the things, those ovens are $3,000-$4,000. So one of the things we were talking about looking at was getting them to sell that oven and reinvesting it into an electric oven, which will also eliminate the need for the hood to run 24 hours a day and really reduce some of the inefficiencies. The air leakage one actually calculates into the thermostat controls, because there's a unconditioned area in the back of that building that is used for storage that is open all the way to the ceiling grid. So right now, air is just traveling through that space, and so we're having to heat that air up, cool it down. It could be as much as 1,500 CFM per hour, so 1,500 milk crates an hour leakage going in and out of that building that we have to reheat or cool depending on the time of the year. So I really think if we fix those items, we can make a really big savings. I was pretty aggressive on that, but there's a lot to fix, so I think that the numbers would work. You guys got any questions on that before I go to the electrical side?
The payback on the electric stove would be approximately 2.5 years on the savings.
Unless we sold it.
Minus the stove we sold. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If the stove that they have in there, quite honestly, is probably a $5,000 stove, $6,000 stove. So it probably would sell it and have money in reserve on that stove.
Sell it to Creekside?
Okay, any other questions for Bob? Going into the electric.
Yeah, the electric side, I included a graph in here. I've been tracking it for quite a while now. And then I also did a projection that based on if we change that building to LED lighting. Right now we're about 3.14 watts per foot for lighting in that building. And we really should be under one. By going to LED lights, reducing from 160 watt fixtures down to 36 watt fixtures would bring us down to about 0.67 watts per foot, which would be, and we'd have the same light output. So we wouldn't be reducing the light, we'd actually be increasing the light quality. And that would save approximately 40% of the electrical portion of the bill. And that is on the extreme conservative side. It would probably in reality be closer to 60 to 70% of savings. Everything else in that building that is costing us money is stuff plugged into the walls, and there's not a whole lot of that. It'd be to do a retrofit to LED lights in that building, to do it right with aux sensors and some other stuff would be approximately $11,000. So with a savings about $1,250 a year.
Okay.
Well, you think that $1,200's conservative? You think it's actually a little more?
That's a conservative number.
So $1,500 probably isn't that unrealistic?
No, I don't think so. I think we'd be closer to 70%.
Would Idaho Power give any rebate on this?
Yes, most likely. They probably would give us some rebates on the, going to LED. It'd just be a matter of applying for them and them getting, and them being accepted.
I know I changed the lights in my office, and they paid half of it. It's about $800, and they paid $400.
They're not quite as friendly to the commercial side as far as rebates and stuff go, but there still are rebates available.
Okay.
Scott?
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, we'll close out the workshop session and move right